Oji dā jīrā yīmā yīndū dā jīgī dā jīdī āgmā sīm sācī sīm chāp Tī nāngu dāngu dā shā jīgī kūrdī yīmā yīndū dā dāngu lā yīgī sī nām gōmbā nōrāṅ dā shāvā Tēnī nōdī jīnī dāngu lā dāngu lā dābarī shāvā Tēnī dāngu lā nīnī hōn dā nīmā jītār shāvā Dā nīmā lī sīrāṅ nī mūdūb jītār dābā sī Oji dā kāvī yīmā jī sāng yīmā yīmā
So if you look under Action Tantra, it says the way to progress on the path of Action Tantra has four. First of all, becoming a vessel suitable to meditate on the path. Second, keeping the vows and the commitments pure after becoming a vessel. Number three is the way to perform prior approximation while abiding in the commitments. And number four is the way to establish the siddhis after rendering the approximation serviceable.
ဟုတ်တယ်ဒီနေ့ကြည့်ဒါဒီနေ့ဒါဒီနံပါတ်နံကွန်ဘီနိုရန်တေချာဒီတံဘောနောစီတန်ဒီလမ်ရုံချေချောင်းနေဆုံးပါတယ်လမ်သမုံဒီဂျေနာပရဂျောင်းဒီစီဟုတ်ကြည့်ဒါဒီနေ့လူကြည့်တော့ဘုံဇနီတောင်းတင်ပါရှိကြည့်ဒီနေ့ရှိပါတယ်ဆွေရှင်တဲ့တင်ဟုတ်တယ်ဒီနေ့ဒါရှာကြရူစံကောင်းအောင်ရောင်းအချီကိုကျင်ကုန်တဲ့ဂျီကြံဟောကရဝနီဝါဝစီဒီဆောင်ရင်ဒီဟုတ်ကြည့်ဒါဒီနံငမာဝဒ ကျေးဇူးတင်ပါတယ်ဒီကျေးဇူးတဲ့ကျေးဇူးကငုံတွန်းတော်ကြီးငါကညာနေကြလာဒီတိရတဲ့တိထောင်းနေတဲ့ဒီလူကြီးတော်ဘုံသင်္ကြန်တော်တင်ပါကြီးနေဟောနံပါတ်တော်ပါကြီးဒီဒီရောကောင်းရောမကြီးကဝဒဝန်တင်ရင်အရှင်အရိတင်တာကငါကလူကြီးတော်ဘုံတင်ပါဆွေးရှင်တဲ့တင်သာမရတဲ့ဆိုတဲ့တံပိုးဂိမရှင်ရဲ့တင်ရတဲ့ဆောင်ယူပါတယ်ပါတင်တဲ့တင်တံပိုးဂိုနေဟောကြီးတဲ့
So if we look at the first way, which is the way of becoming a vessel suitable to meditate on the path, the text says, as it is stated in the great and condensed stages of the path, one first well trains one's mental continuum in the common paths. Then through relying on a qualified Vajra master, in the way it is explained in the classes of Tantra, one enters in the mandala of any of the three lineages of Action Tantra and takes the empowerment. So, it has already been explained in the long run, in the stages of the path, that first of all one has to train one's mental continuum through the shared path. After that, one needs to find a qualified Vajra master. One needs to examine and make sure that one is relying to the proper master. Now, we know that within the long run, one of the first issues that is discussed is the proper way of relying on a master. And it becomes even more important if you are about to request a tantric empowerment. So, having trained your mind, having found the right master, having requested the empowerment from this qualified Vajra master, then you enter the mandala of any of the lineage. There are three lineages in Action Tantra, and then you receive the empowerment.
ကျေတံရောင်းတော့ကရုသံကုန်ဘောရှိကြည်ရပါသည်ဤသင်္ကြန်ပြောင်းတဲ့ရှင်ဤစီတဲ့ချမ်းသာသူကြီးသံဘောတိရုသံကုန်ဘောဆောင်ပြီးပါသည်ဝဒတိရှာကြကောင်တရှိဝနတိသံယူပါရီရှိုကြကောင်တရှိဝယောင်တိသံယူပါရီနံကြကောင်တရှိဝတိသံယူပါရီဒါလမ်မီကောင်တရှိဝဒါရုသံကုန်ဘောရိရိရိယောရီတိကံဒဝဒိရုသံကုန်ဘောတိနေရှာကြတိကြံကြပါရုသံကြတိ
So, as you see here, we have mention of the three lineages of Action Tantra. It says you should take an empowerment in any of the three lineages. Now, when we talk about the master of the lineage, or when we talk about three lineages, this can be understood in two ways. In the more general way, we talk about the three main lineages that are represented by Manjushri, by Jinrasik, and Vajrapani. And these three main protectors, these Vajra, let's say these lineage holders, sorry, not Vajra, lineage holders, they can be represented in all four classes of Tantra. You can find them in action Tantra, in performance, in yoga, and in highest yoga Tantra. But in this particular occasion, where it says that one receives empowerment in any of the three lineages of the action Tantra, when we look at the action Tantra, we see that there are three lineages. The first one is the Tathagata lineage, the second one is the Lotus lineage, and the third one is the Vajra lineage. Now, Tathagata lineage is actually within the Tathagata. If you receive empowerment within the Tathagata lineage, you could be receiving empowerment in many different deities, but definitely Manjushri will be one of them. So we have, again, Manjushri represented by that. The Lotus lineage is mainly represented by Genresik, and the Vajra lineage is represented by Vajrapani. So we have already explained how one becomes a suitable vessel by receiving the appropriate empowerment. And then a question is asked, like, what empowerments are, in what mandala is the empowerment bestowed? Since it is permitted to bestow the empowerment either in a mandala made of colored particles or one painted on cloth. So you see the sand mandala or the printed mandala is suitable. Another text continues by saying, or for some special persons in an absorption mandala. So the absorption mandala is, as it says here, for special individuals. They do not need to rely on a sand mandala. They do not need to rely on a printed mandala. Rather, the lama meditates on the mandala and the student is able to meditate and manifest this mandala. Therefore, they can receive this initiation on the basis of this meditated upon mandala, and that's why the name is bestowed, the absorption mandala. That's for special individuals. So, as I said, the text says here that within the context of action tantra, one can receive empowerment on the basis of a sand mandala, on the basis of a printed mandala, or in the case of special individuals, on the basis of absorption mandala. But other types of mandala, such as the body mandala, relative bodhicitta mandala, the lotus of the mother mandala, or the ultimate bodhicitta mandala, it says they are not used at all. We don't even have these terms existing in the three lower classes, especially in action tantra. These are things you will find mentioned or used only in highest yoga tantra. So if we read further on in our text, it says there is no body mandala, etc., because in the case of the three lower classes of tantra, the credentials of Bodhi Mandala, relative Bodhicitta Mandala, Lotus of the Mother Mandala, and ultimate Bodhicitta Mandala are not mentioned. The reason for that is that these four types of mandalas are attributes of the highest yoga tantra only. So, as I see, the first issue that is discussed is the different types of mandalas upon which empowerment can be bestowed. In total, we have seven types of mandalas, but the text makes it very clearly. In the three lower tantras, you can only use the first three types of mandalas. The remaining four types of mandalas are exclusively used on the occasion of highest yoga tantra empowerment. Now, the second issue that is discussed is the number of empowerments that are involved. Now, you must have heard that in the case of highest yoga tantra empowerment, we talk about the vast empowerment, the secret empowerment, wisdom primordial, awareness empowerment, and finally the word empowerment. This is the four empowerments. But again, the text states here that in the case of lower tantras, in the case of action tantra, only the first type of empowerment will be given. So again, we're going to have a difference between the lower tantras and the highest yoga tantra on the number of empowerments. So the text says, what empowerments are bestowed? Only the vast empowerment is bestowed. The three higher empowerments do not exist in the three lower classes of tantra. Then we start comparing the number of empowerments that are given in different occasions. So we see that there are different empowerments involved in the action tantra and the performance tantra, and as we move along, the number of empowerments increase. So it says, there is a difference in the number of empowerments in the four classes of tantra. Action tantra merely has the water and crown empowerments plus the final empowerment of ritual objects. Now, performance tantra, as well as the first two, has just the Vajra, bell, and name empowerments, which constitute the five knowledge empowerments, plus the final empowerment of the ritual objects. So, in the case of action tantra, you see that you have the water and crown, plus the ritual objects at the end. And in the case of performance, you have water, crown, plus Vajra, bell, and name, making a total of five, and then followed at the end by the final ritual objects.
Then let me just tell you that the
So we say we start with Action Tantra, which has two. We continue with Performance Tantra, which has five. And then the text continues by saying, in Yoga Tantra, as well as those, has the Vajra Master empowerment, plus the final ritual object. So by adding the Vajra Master on the previous five, we make up a total of six. We start with two, we went up to five, Yoga Tantra has six. Now we start with Highest Yoga Tantra. So Highest Yoga Tantra, as well as those, has the three higher empowerments. So it is understood that this first group of five knowledge empowerment plus the Vajra Master, they all fall within the category of the Vajra. And then it says on top of that, there are three higher empowerments, which are the secret, the word primordial awareness, plus the wisdom primordial awareness, and the word empowerment. Right? So in the Highest Yoga Tantra, we have all four empowerments. Now, the text continues by giving a specific case where it says, in the specific Highest Yoga Tantra, the Kali Chakra Tantra, there's a different way of enumerating the empowerments, right? So first of all, there are the seven empowerments as if entering childhood. So we have seven to begin with. On top of that, we have the four higher empowerments. On top of that, we have the four great higher empowerments. And finally, we have the empowerment of the great Vajra Master Lord, making 16 empowerments. So what we have is seven in the manner of childhood, plus four, plus four, plus the last one, making 16. But we need to know that in the case of the four great empowerments and the four greater than the great empowerments, there are similarities so that they can group together. So in the case of these two groups, we have, for example, the Vajra, the secret, the wisdom primordial awareness, and the word that are described as great empowerments. And then we have the greater than the great, that again is a similar enumeration. It's the Vajra, the secret, word primordial awareness, and wisdom primordial awareness, and word. And the ones that are shared in these two groups can be linked together. If you enumerate them in the most extensive way, you will end up with 16. Otherwise, you can condense and end up with a smaller number.
我觉得大家当你下级的修建你了下级的修建你了你怎么上一万里我在修建了地震的生态你们这边基本上一万里的那样我就做就能救援你你不得做我一定地震了就然后什么什么年代用主要的现在都建成了自己的文件阿白亚干了我就文件阿白亚干了地了
Now, as a bit mentioned before, that when we talk about the Kala Chakra initiation, this can be bestowed on two different types of mandalas. It can be bestowed on the Kala particle, which is the sound mandala, but also according to the system of Abhyakara Gupta, it is said that it can be bestowed on the basis of printed mandala. And if you do it on the basis of the printed mandala, so then you're actually giving the four types of empowerments. So the verse, the secret, wisdom primordial awareness, and word empowerment. Now, we continue with our text, where it says, still, the Vajra Rosary of Mandala Rites states that in actual and performance tantras, the five knowledge empowerments are bestowed. So, we have, again, this is related to the system of Abhyakara Gupta, this particular text. Now, we have seen in our text, first of all, that it said in Akshan Tantra, all we had was the water and the crown empowerment. And then when we moved into the performance tantra, we had these two plus the Vajra, the bell, and the name. But Abhyakara Gupta actually says that even in the action tantra, you could have the full set of five empowerments. You don't need just to go with two. It is permissible to give the five knowledge empowerments. So a point of, a point to be investigated further arises here. Again, I forgot to say something about Abhyakara Gupta, that he was a great practitioner who actually perceived Vajrayogini directly, and it was the great Vajrayogini who passed on the lineage and explained to him how different types of initiations and different tantras could be bestowed. Anyway, up to this point, we have actually completed the first part that is dealing with how to become a suitable vessel to practice this particular tantra, and within that we discuss the different types of mandalas upon which empowerment is bestowed, as well as the number of empowerments that are involved. We continue now with the second part, which is dealing with the vows and commitments and how to keep those pure. Right, so we're dealing with the second section, which has to do with ethics, morality, and this is how vows and commitments are discussed here. Then, let's say the title of this particular part is Keeping the Vows and Commitments Pure After Becoming a Vessel. It says, if one is a suitable basis for individual emancipation vows, one should take any of the seven types of the vows, or at the very least, the ethics of abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions as a basis. So we're talking about the seven types of beings who are keeping the vows of individual liberation. Now, if you're keeping vows of individual liberation, you will fall in one of the two main categories. Either you will be ordained or you will be a lay person. Now, we end up with seven categories because, of course, we have different levels of ordination, and we have monks' ordinations as well as nuns' ordinations coming in different stages. Then on top of that, you can add the lay practitioners, and again, we can make a further subdivisions within the group of lay practitioners of those who hold either the Genyen vows or the Nyenyen vows. The different lays lies on whether you have taken the vows for only one day or whether you have taken for the period of your life. Now, if it says here that at the minimum the basic discipline that one should observe is that of abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions. And the reason for that is because as Buddhists we go for refuge, and when you go for refuge, the main advice that you have to hold is to abandon from the 10 non-virtuous actions. So the minimum of ethics, of vows, of disciplines that one is holding is abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions. On top of that, you can have different layers of vows, different durations of vows, depending on whether you are a lay or an ordained person.
Nyani gini bhama dang, bidur bhama giloma, giloma dang, gilom, di sozo terba, rigji toho sena. Oda nyani di mui tenjian dang, pui tenjian niga yuari di, niga tangka shila sena, nyani di chiga si. Da gini bhama niga yang riri ni sena samji, nyani gini bhama dang, bidur, da bidur yang padang mo ni yuwa yendu sena ngaji. Nyani gini bhama dang, bidur bhama teni, Da ji gelo masiji gelo mingondu dawo tila gelo masiji teni gelo ma teni gelo ba oda teji tiva yena sozur tava ri ji si seyong yivari yang teji masina ri dance na tiaji yivari yendu da tinda yendu.
Now the text here mentions seven categories of beings who hold the vows of individual liberation, but actually they can be enumerated as eight. So first of all, as I say, we have the divisions of the ordained people. You would have fully ordained monks, fully ordained nuns. Then you would have those who are not fully ordained on the basis of the males. There would be monks, there would be nuns. In the case of nuns also, you would have those who are trainees. Then when you come into the lay practitioners, as I say, we can make the division between the nenyen and those who are genyen. Now, those two vows can be taken on the basis of either both the male and the female. But in order to end up with eight, in the case of Nenyen, we count male and female bases as one. But in the case of Genyen, we break it up into male and female Genyen. Right? So you can either have seven or eight beings who hold classes of humans, beings who hold vows of individual liberation. Now, other classes of vows that can be held are the Bodhisattva vows, and then on top of that, we have the Tantric vows.
Come there, Shaji, 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 Shaji Dani jaji dan shu jin ni la ngo dong zhen ya yuwa ma ri. Ti miwa yin du di na sang xia di za tang yang xiang seng ge. Wo de za tang nam yin ji de li la zi da ngo ji dong be za tang yuwa. Sang miwa yin du lian yang go go ma ri. Ti yin du on jang ngo ji tamo ma ba tam zi ge sang wa ri xia ba ma bu yuwa ba na. Ngo ram qian mo la gu dup ji ji zhong wa ri. Wo de xi wa ri xia xiang za tang nam xiang qi bi xiang nam de da wa ri xia wo. Da xiang ju zhen bi dong be na ge za tang ge kur di nam xiao di yi ren bu ji sang ge xiang ju xiang nam zi ji. Bodhi Jyoji Kanan Ka Bodhi Dambu Dinan Na Yang Yuvari Oda Di Shampang Di Jang.
Now the second thing that is discussed here are the type of vows that are assumed in the occasion of the empowerment, and the point is made that no tantric vows are assumed in the case of action tantra. It says here the vows that are to be kept at the time of the empowerment are only the bodhisattva vows, because in the case of action and performance tantra, there are no tantric vows to be kept. Due to that, the root downfall to be guarded against are no other than the bodhisattva root downfalls. Right, so very clearly it says here that the only vows that are assumed are the bodhisattva vows, and therefore the downfalls that we need to guard ourselves against are the root bodhisattva downfalls. These things are discussed in the compendium of training of ethics of bodhisattvas composed by the great Lama Tsongkhapa.
ဝရိဒတိနေမယင်တတိယောနိဒတိတောရှိဝရရှိနိဒတ်သာတံကိုတင်မှာကုဝါလာမေချံညီဝရင်ကြီးကုနာယောကျမညံဗရမဇောဝရညံဗရကျောင်းဝါနံဝကျေသေမုရိချေကျူလာသေမုတောဝကျောင်းဝါနံညံမုရိချေကျူရသောဝတရှောင်းနိတောဝရချောဝရှိငေါရမချေမုရသောဆိုဝတ်ဝကျေဒကံဒီဒွန်ဘလင်ကွာဒီရှာကြီးကကံနိရှောင်းကျူစံပြီဒွန်ဘတိလင်ကိုဝေဝါယင်ဒီရှောင်းကျူစံပြီဒွန်ဘလာသဝတောဝကျူကြီး
Now, we continue. It says, nevertheless, there are many specific mantra commitments to be kept. This is understood from the quotation of the well-accomplished tantras in the great stages of mantra. And as for the root downfalls, one should look them up in the central path to enlightenment. Having come to know this, one must put in effort to definitely not be polluted by the root downfalls, and even if one gets polluted by other faults, not to leave it as it is without thinking anything about it, but to restore at night those that occur during the day, and to restore in the day downfalls that occur during the night, and to purify by confessing them, as it is mentioned in the great stages of mantra. Now, as we say, the downfalls to be guarded against are the 18 downfalls of the bodhisattva vows. Together with that, we need to look at the 46 secondary commitments, and those things need to be enumerated. You can find them enumerated in the six-session Guru Yoga practice that most of you will be doing daily, or otherwise you can find them in this ethical training of the bodhisattvas. It's the first chapter composed by Lama Tsongkhapa.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပဲရင်ဒီတဲ့ဒနာဒီဆောင်ဆောင်တွေကဒီညွာတစုမရင်ညမှုကပ်စညွာကြောင့်ဆောင်ရရင်နဲ့ဒီညမှုဒီရှောက်ရကဒီစုံတော်မှာကြောင့်နဲ့ဆင့်ကဒီစုရှောက်ဆင့်ကဒီစုကြောင့်ဆောင်ရဒီနေ့ရင်နဲ့ယောင်းဆောင်ရရင်နဲ့ဒီညမှုရှောက်ဒီကြီးကိုဆောင်ယူရတယ်ဟိုတဲ့ဒီဒီငွေဆောင်သုံးပြင်းနံတဲ့ဂျင်းကြီးတဲ့ရှင်ညာမင်းစီဒီရင်ပဲရင်သူကျိုးကြီးပါတဲ့ yangjin zong zong la chomba de to de guro ji nga ji ni shi thamo ri ku ni de ngi de xia gu gu yu si wo ji de tin tin de ge lu ji ji ga yu wa de wa ta zu na jin ge de xia gu di ni.
And the text says here that if you are aware that you one infraction has occurred, you should never leave it as it is, but rather you should try to purify as quickly as possible. If an infraction occurs during the day and for some reason or another you are too busy to offer a proper confession and purification during the day, then you should definitely do it at night. If it occurs at night, make sure you confess it first thing in the morning. You can read biographies such as the biography of the great Lord Atisha, when there are some anecdotes of how he was, when he visited Tibet, how he really slowed down the traveling party, because very often he had to request them to please stop, hold the procession, because he needed to confess the smallest infraction that had occurred in his vow. So you can read such inspiring stories in these biographies.
ဝဒီဒဒီနေကျင်းနာဒဒီနီဒဒါကြည့်ချွနာရေကြီးနောင်ကတံပိုးအောင်ကိုတံတုကိုညှစ်တုဇဆံဘဒီကတကစပြည်ဒီနောင်နဲ့တံစလာနီနီဟွန်ဒီညံပဲချက်တဲချက်ပါယင်ကြည့်ညံပဲဆောင်ယူရီဒီယင်ကြည့်လမ်ဂုံစုတေယံကိုယူရီဝါတေယင်ဒီဇညံပဲဒီနာဘိုးယူကတောင်းနာညှစ်စီဒီနာကြည့်လာတေတောင်းဒီညံနဲ့ကြည်ဝါနာလီတုကြတောင်းရောင်ကဆက်မြီထောင်းညီပူဂျူရှိကညံနဲ့ကြည်လာညံပဲဆောင်ယူရီ
Now we have completed the first and the second part, and now we start with the third one, which is the way to perform prior approximation while abiding in the commitments. So mainly we will be describing the way to perform approximation. Now when we talk about approximation, in Tibetan it's called nyenpa, and it is appropriate to understand the meaning behind that. Why we translate it as approximation is because we try to, through our practice, through meditating on the deity, we try to approximate the deity. We try to come as close as possible to the deity so that our mind will become as close as possible to the enlightened mind of the deity. And we meditate on the path in a way that we see not only our mind, but our body and our speech approximating, becoming as close as possible to the body, speech and mind of the deity. Of course, we can talk about approximation retreat, which involves a recitation of the mantra. This also is counted as approximation, but Rinpoche was stressing really the meditation that you do, where you see yourself becoming closer to the deity, is the main approximation. The recitation of the mantra is a secondary part to that, is a branch to that. So the text says that this particular part, the approximation, has two. There can be absorption with recitation, and there can be absorption not relying on recitation. In the first case, when you're doing absorption with recitation, what it means is that you meditate and at the same time you're reciting mantras. In the second one, where we have absorption not relying on this recitation, what is meant here is that you meditate but you do not recite any mantras. You do not rely on the mantra recitation. It's mere meditation. Now, we start with the first one, which is absorption with recitation. It says one generates oneself as the deity by means of the six deities, and having invited the wisdom beings to the place in front of oneself, one makes offerings, etc. One recites mantra without deterioration of the four branches through combining life force succession and retention. So this gives you a brief outline of the practices that you do. So first of all, you generate yourself as the deity. You do that by going through six different stages that are known by the term six deities. And after you have done that, you invite in the space in front of you the actual deity, the wisdom beings. You present them with offerings, and then you start with your recitation. And the mantra recitation, it says, it has to be done in a particular way so that none of the four branches is deteriorated. Basically, you have to keep your concentration, the quality of concentration, without wavering. Right, so we have a mention here of the six deities, and we say that one does one's self-generation by relying on those six deities. Now, it was mentioned very quickly the other day when we were in the occasion of the great Genresic empowerment, but we have the time now to look at it a bit more, in a more relaxed way. So first of all, to give you the list of those six deities, the first one is called the empty deity, the second one is called the sound deity, the third one is the letter deity, the fourth one is the form deity, the fifth one is the seal deity, and the last one is called the sign deity.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနံကတဲ့တံပိုးတံပိလာစီကြည်တဲ့ကြည်ဒီကောင်းရနေမှာကြည်တံပိုးကြည်တဲ့ဆောင်စုကတိကကတောင်းနေရနာကြည်ငေါညီယောစာယွာရီငေါကြည်မတော်မေစာယွာရီငေါညီယောစာရနာအမစဘဘကြည်တဲ့သရဒမစဘဘကြည်တဲ့ငေါစီကြည်ဆောင်စုကတိငေါဒီကြည်တနေ့အမရှင်နေတဲ့ညနာမန္တစဘအမကောင်စီကြည်ငေါဒီညီဘိုယွာရနာငေါညီဘိုမေနာတံပိုးဝတန်နီဒီတောင်းတောင်းတော်ဝဒီတိကပ်စတံပိညီဂုံကူယွာရီ
Right, so we start with the first one. We gave it the name empty deity. And the reason there is to remind us of emptiness, to remind us of the fact that whatever practice you do, first of all, you need to meditate on emptiness. Now, in any sadhana you would rely upon, you will find either one or two of those emptiness mantras that we have. Excuse me. So either you would have to recite this Svambhava mantra or you would recite the Shunyata mantra. And from within the state of emptiness, you will start forming up the deities, starting, you know, this process of transformation of the self-generation and so forth. So contemplating emptiness is the first step in this process. And this is why the first deity is called the empty deity.
ဒါညင်ကြီးကငေါနီဆောင်ကျုပ်ကြီးသံတေတောကချစ်တောရောင်ကျုပ်ကြီးသံကြီးကျင်းတော်တဲ့သဘောဆောင်ကြီးကိုပေါင်းထုံးနာညာဘကွန်စုဆောင်ကျုပ်ကြီးသံဒီဆောင်လို့တော့ဒီငေါနီဒါတင်တဲ့ကကျွန်စုကြီးချွတ်တံကြီးရောင်ကျုပ်ကြီးတွေ့ပြီးတုံးပန်းကြီးရင်တကားညာမနဲ့တောင်းတဲ့ဆောင်ကျုပ်ကြီးသံဒီထပ်ရှိညီကညာမနဲ့တင်ဇွန်ပတန်နီဂုံကိုရီမာတော့တုံးပန်းကြီးကျောင်းကျောင်းကငေါနီဂုံနာယောင်ထပ်
Now, when we talk about meditation on the empty deity, we talk about meditation on emptiness. And really, from the two types of bodhicitta, this falls into the category of ultimate bodhicitta. But this has to be preceded by generation of the relative bodhicitta. So first of all, one starts by contemplating the suffering of the six types of migrations. And by focusing on this suffering, one generates the loving thought, wishing that all of them would experience happiness, as well as compassion, wishing all of them to be separated from their suffering. And by observing all this suffering, of course, one generates the mind of renunciation, the mind that turns away from this existence of suffering. And then by focusing on the suffering of others, one generates the mind of bodhicitta. One generates the mind that aspires to reach the state of enlightenment in order to be able to benefit all these types of sentient beings. So one generates the mind of bodhicitta, of relative bodhicitta. But after that, one needs to generate the mind of ultimate bodhicitta by considering how all dharmas are empty of inherent existence, how all dharmas are permeated by emptiness. In this way, one needs to combine both the relative and the ultimate bodhicitta. When you meditate on the empty deity, although we say that this mainly points us to the direction of emptiness, we need to understand that we should never ever divide the relative from the ultimate bodhicitta. We keep both of them united. So when we say we meditate on emptiness, we make sure that this meditation on emptiness also has been influenced by meditation on relative bodhicitta. Now, it is very clear when we give this presentation on how to meditate on the empty deity that first of all one starts by generating the mind of renunciation. This renunciation can give birth to one's compassion, and this compassion can support the development of bodhicitta. And from the development of bodhicitta, one can move into the later stage, which is meditation on emptiness. So you see, in this way, we combine method and wisdom. And this combination of method and wisdom, again, reminds us of the three principal aspects of the path of renunciation, bodhicitta, and correct view. All these issues are closely related. They all support each other. Now, we have explained the first one of the six deities, which was the empty deity, and now we're moving to the second one, which is the sound deity. Let's take as an example meditation on Genresic. So in this case, you would have this, first of all, you have generated the mind meditating on emptiness, comprehending emptiness. And then you have to think that from the space, you can hear the mantra of Genresic, Om Mani Padme Hum, naturally resounding into space, right? So you would meditating on this sound, on this self-arisen sound of the mantra of the deity coming from the space.
So
So we say, first of all, we start by meditating on emptiness, and eventually this mind that comprehends emptiness will appear in the aspect of the sound. So this the six syllables, Om Mani Padme Hum, that you can hear resounding in space, is just another aspect of the mind comprehending emptiness. This explains the first and the second stages of this meditation. Now we move into the third one. So in the third stage, you visualize or you see that this sound of the six syllables almost crystallizes and falls from the sky and comes and falls upon a basis. Let's say we have a lotus basis. So on the top of this lotus basis, eventually you will see the letters, the form of the letters, Om Mani Padme Hum, appearing. So this will be the third level of the six deities, and this is why it is called the letter deity, because you don't deal with sound anymore. You can actually visualize the letters. So first of all, we say in all cases we start our meditation by contemplating emptiness, and this mind that contemplates emptiness appears as the sound. After that, the sound transforms into the letters of the mantra of the deity, and then finally all these aspects combine together, and on top of lotus you don't have any more the letters, but instead you have the deity itself. As we say, we took as an example meditation on Chenrezig. So in this case, in the case of the form deity, you will be seeing the form of Chenrezig, whether you have the thousand arm Chenrezig, whether you have the form arm Chenrezig, whichever aspect of the deity you wish to meditate upon. All the different aspects will combine so that you have the complete form of the deity sitting or standing, anyway, abiding on the seat of the lotus. And again, it's another manifestation of the mind which comprehends emptiness. So after that, what you do is you actually bless different places of the body with a special mudra, and as you recite the mudra, you also say a particular mantra together with that. And this is the fifth one, which is the seal deity, seal as in mudra. You bless different parts of your body with this seal. Up to this point, you have actually been relying on reciting certain words. Maybe you were looking at the text of the sadhana, you were following the instructions, and step by step, you built up this visualization. But from this point onwards, when you reached into the last part of this meditation, which is the sign deity, you stop reciting, you stop relying on words, you stop looking at the text. You have established your visualization, and now you have to see how focused your mind is, and you try to apply the mind so that it will remain with the focal object single-pointedly for as long as this is possible. And from this point onwards, also you also have to do meditation on emptiness. So this development, definitely development of special insight, is involved in this last part.
Only that
kachi shuye ki tu se diye ta ting se la ra
ori shedu cha ga di ni diye ja ja bi.
All right, so it's already 11:30. We will stop here for the morning session, and we will have time for questions and answers in the afternoon session. The afternoon session will have a shorter presentation and allowing more time for discussion. Thank you. Okay, afternoon. Sorry, 7 o'clock. Sorry.
Sunday,